Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have Sashua Benet. Now, Sashua is a transformational coach, an intuitive mentor, and corporate facilitator and keynote speaker with over 16 years experience in personal and professional development. Prior to that, she spent 12 years in corporate human resources with a focus on organizational development, leadership, and culture. She now specializes in soul-centered empowerment for heart-centered professionals. I love that term. I think that is just awesome. Her mission is to inspire and empower others to find the truth and path to happiness through living consciously. Welcome, Sashua.
Thanks, Janine. Great to be here.
As I said, I love that statement, soul-centered empowerment for heart-centered professionals, and I'm seeing that a lot more. I think the experiences that we had in 2020 have pushed a lot of us more into, we've got to come from the heart, because we realize that it's not just all about business and there's a lot of things that are really important to us.
Absolutely. And in fact, even a bigger reminder that it is important in business as well, because I think as we've all entered into 2021, we know that our current landscape isn't going anywhere, that we are going to have to continue to be resilient and show up and thrive as best as we can. So I believe there's a hugely underutilized resource in tapping into our heart center and our soul center.
Yes, because it's a new world. You know, from the start of 2020, we've had experiences that we would never have thought we would ever have to have. And fortunately, being in Australia, we haven't had it anywhere severely as it is in other places in the world. And so now we have to live really a different way than what we did in the past.
We do. It changes everything. And I think it's the longevity aspect for me, which is really spurring me on to get the message out there that we really do have to alter how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our environment, and how we're going to get ourselves out there in the world. Wow, it's a very different landscape now.
And that opportunity to then be thinking of ourselves, you know, that's important, isn't it? That I know, and I have been guilty of it a lot, is especially when I was working for somebody else, is that you're constantly feeling this level of responsibility, which is not bad when you're, you know, in a senior management role, that you have a responsibility for the business, but that overtakes your sense of wellness in with yourself. I remember I had a couple of things removed from my neck and I had to have stitches in and go get the stitches out. And I was so busy that I went to see the specialist to get them removed, and I had about a 20-minute wait, and I went, I can't wait any longer, and I left, and then I had to find another way to get them removed. And I thought, it was one of the least respectful things I think I've ever done for myself, is put that ahead of, you know, that sense of responsibility to someone else, an innate object of business, to my own health.
Yes, absolutely. And it's fabulous, those wake-up calls, and wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to go through them, that we have a bit of foresight rather than the hindsight in those kind of situations? Because if we don't get our energy solid and knowing ourselves and nurturing our journey, then our efforts in business, in corporate, in being a leader, in being in relationships is going to be thwarted, because our foundation is not solid. And that example you just gave speaks to that beautifully.
It was crazy. It was just absolutely. And you know, that the amount of extra time it then took me to find, you know, to be able to go just to a nurse at a random practice to say, can you take these stitches out? I thought that was just absolutely crazy. But I know other people doing it as well. It's not, there are things that we're putting ahead of our health, and out of everything in our lives, that's one thing that we, I heard someone speak this morning and saying you can't get your time back, but you can't get your, the health is you know, absolutely vital. And it's not something, we tend to work through our 30s and 40s, you know, full on, and the health's the least important thing. And then we get into our 50s and 60s and go, oh goodness, things ache now. And
that's it. and it's also about our mental health too, and how we feel about ourselves. Because when we go through those kind of experiences, and I could rattle off a few myself, you know, we've all been there, that we then give ourselves a really hard time for doing it. And so the consequences are amplified.
Yes, yeah. And that happens a lot also, is that, holding ourselves to a higher level of responsibility than we would expect from others. And I think, and I know I want to talk about how you got to do what you do, and particularly about the steps that you had taken. But I think just before then, I wanted to add is, I think that's what COVID has done. It has made us aware now that, okay, we don't go to work if we've got the flu and dragging ourselves there, or we take responsibility and give ourselves that opportunity. And it's that permission, whereas in the past, you know, if you needed to be dying before you could take that time off, rather than going, no, you know what, I've got a cough and I'm being responsible to everyone else in the workplace as well. Now, you came from corporate, and I know you said you've got stories of your own as to doing that and sort of getting you to where you are now. So who is Sasha?
So, I did have 12 years in corporate and followed a very traditional, you know, go to uni, get a good business job, work your way up the ladder, and did that for 12 years and kind of got to the top of where I wanted to be and was very successful career-wise, but I still felt wanting. I felt that there was so much more to how we could be connecting with each other and creating success in business. And I was quite disheartened and fairly unfulfilled in my career, and frustrated that I couldn't really make the change. So that catapulted me into my own personal and professional development journey, as it does. And I made some huge sea changes. I left corporate and moved to a farm, as you do. Having grown up as a city slicker, I thought, well, what's there to do? Well, how about we move to
such an easy lifestyle.
And, you know, I tried being an artist for a while. I even was a feng shui consultant for it. Like, I tried all these things. And bear in mind, this is in my early 30s. So it's quite some years ago now.
Okay. So you had that realization quite early on, because I know it usually happens in the late 40s, 50s when you're going, really, what do I really want to be doing?
Yeah.
So well, that's done, so you. True.
Well, I feel really fortunate, because I can remember the moment in time. I was actually 28 when I had the, like, what am I doing type feeling. And it took a few years for me to kind of start grappling with that and then make the move. But once I really wanted to make the move in earnest, I started doing a lot of spiritual development as well, which I really related to in a practical way, and just found so many transformational changes, because I started to develop a relationship with myself. And I lost 50 kilos in 18 months.
Did you lose them or remove them? We don't want to find things that we lose, do we? But congratulations. I mean, that is just really respecting yourself by doing that, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's a really good way to put it, because there's a lot of self-sabotage in our lives. And that was one for me. And not just eating habits and things, but fitness and well-being and mindset and all of those things. And now I've spent a glorious journey exploring even beyond mindset. And that's why I call the work that I do more soul-centered empowerment, because I believe that's where the real transformational change can happen. But man, I've had some great experiences. I've been a medicinal herb farmer. I've been a goat farmer. I mean, I wouldn't exchange those experiences for anything, because they're character building, you know, and they really delivered me to a much more pure and connected space of what kind of a human I wanted to be. And now really all of that's catapulted me into a feeling that all that sea change that I've made in my own life, it's been so transformational for me and so empowering, and just created a love I love, you know, like, let's get to the grassroots of it. We all want to enjoy our experience here. And that's really what I feel very passionate about doing for others now, particularly for professionals and entrepreneurs, because I know how hard we work. Mm. I know how much of our heart and soul we put into our businesses. And I was doing a presentation the other day and I asked everyone in the audience, what percentage of your business is you? And of course, the percentages are huge.
Mm.
So if we are that much of our business, then we owe it to ourselves to explore us a little further.
That's a really good question. And, you know, I work with a lot of sole traders. So the business is 100% them, isn't it? You know, that's you doing it. And for me, I'm much the same. I've come out of a, you know, senior management role, and it's with a lot of staff, and it's a choice to work for yourself. It really is. It's a very different space, and it's not something for me personally that I'm looking at expanding on that. So I have to even be more mindful of how I can get, you know, virtual assistants or trainees or people helping in the business, so I don't burn myself out. Mm. Yeah. And there'd be a lot of women in leadership roles doing that sort of thing. And I've seen them, and as you would, that are just on the edge.
Mm. Absolutely. And it has so many repercussions, not only in our careers, but in our relationships, in our health, like we've discussed, and even just in our normal everyday self-talk. And those kind of consequences can be pretty catastrophic sometimes.
Mm. I was doing, my son has moved back home with his small family and is living here for a little while. And I mentioned something about, this is something I was doing. And he said, you put in so many hours into what you're doing. And I said, well, that's okay, because I really love it. It's not a problem doing that. But it's got to get there. And plus I'm involved in a few not-for-profits, which, you know, that takes time as well. But then that's a hobby. But it's that shift of what you're thinking you should be doing as opposed to what you want to be doing, isn't it? And absolutely. And it's a big difference in the way you think about things when it's a want and a should.
So true. And to me, I guess that was the biggest aha moment in moving out of corporate and starting my own businesses, was exactly that. You know, and when you really land with a passion, your impetus and your drive somehow seems to be amplified that much more. And yet, even in that situation, we're still at risk of tipping that over the edge too, you know, like you're saying, and having that balance. And so you could almost start then to explore, just as I'm saying that, the drive that we have within us. And, you know, we're talking about our women and all the various roles that we have in our lives. Mm. And, you know, somehow that drive can just really take us over the edge. And we lose ourselves in all of those roles that we're continually playing.
And we do, and especially when, and just even, you know, in my case, it's been many, many, many years with just my husband and I here. So that's a different role where you can take time as a spouse and be a distant parent or distant grandparent, or, you know, the weekend grandparent, which is very different than a daily blow by blow every minute grandparent. And then moving back into a parenting role with a 30 plus son also, it's changed that role again for me in this space. And it does, I put my hand up, it causes a stressful environment that wasn't there. So I'm looking for ways to change not just to remove myself from it every day, but to change that space up a bit so that it's comfortable and calm being in it within myself.
Mm.
And I imagine you've got lots of tips for doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, look, it is one of my favourite topics of conversation because I think it's funny, it's quite counterintuitive for us to do those things for ourselves, which is an oxymoron in itself. You think, how can all that really is so innate inside of us be so counterintuitive? And for that matter, our listening to our intuition is counterintuitive too. So that's all part of it as well, you know.
Oh, I haven't heard that before. Can you?
Well, so many people, you know, find it hard to really tap into their intuition. But on the nurturing side of things, you know, I think the most important thing is to have established that real connection with yourself. I think we forget that we need to have a relationship with ourselves. We're so busy nurturing or facilitating relationships with other people, be they in our families or even in business, that we actually forget what are we doing for the relationship inside of us. So I believe that there's so much to be had, wisdom and just that self-love, when we understand ourselves more, when we really know more about who we are. And when I talk about nurturing ourselves, and nurturing is one of my favorite words, is that it's not just about the TLC moments that we all kind of crave, like going to that body spa or having that massage or even just sitting down and having a cup of tea, you know.
Yeah.
It's also looking at nurturing from the perspective of how would we nurture a child? How would we nurture even an animal, you know, for those who have their fur babies, for how would we nurture a plant for those who are gardeners, of which I am, so I can really relate to that too. You know, how are we actually nurturing our growth? And I think that's one thing we really forget about is nurturing our growth.
And that could be on, as you said, a whole lot of levels, couldn't it? You know,
absolutely.
Putting healthy things into our body as opposed to toxic things, removing toxins around us. The words that we say to ourselves is a way of nurturing,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
So talking about words, you know, are there certain things that pop up regularly when you talk to people that you then try and shift them into a different way of speaking and saying things to themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, look, the biggest sort of things that I come across in all the conversations I've had over the years and continue to hear over and over again is very much about the self-doubt, the self-belief, and also the after-the-fact negative replay. So it can be forward thinking and it can be the reverse thinking as well. So it's really catching ourselves out. When we're really in tune with ourselves and our own inner wisdom and the wisdom and intuition we have around us as well, the language is only ever positive. It's only ever encouraging. And sometimes it can be a bit, you know, kick up the bum powerful as well, you know, like, come on, snap out of it. Let's keep moving forward. But it can have that very nurturing and positive tone to it. So it's catching ourselves out in the moment. If we're not hearing those kinds of voices, if we're hearing the much more negative ones, that's not us. That's not who we are. And that's not the positive influence of intuition that we have available to us every day. So it's consciously catching those voices and those thoughts. You know, I was tuned into that cartoon back when we were in a kid. I think it was Daffy Duck or Donald Duck. I can't remember which. And, you know, there was the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. And which voice are we listening to, you know?
Yeah, I think that was very much Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck, probably.
Yeah, and that is a good visual for people, isn't it? That's a great visual. That seeing that, and I know people will often say, is this something you would say to your best friend? And we would go, no, it isn't, but we're still quite comfortable using we as the, you know, overall we, to say it to ourselves. And instead of the, and identifying, as you said, hearing yourself do it. I think that's the, I know I teach people professional speaking, and to hear yourself do the ums, ahs, filler words is the first step to be able to eliminate them, because most people don't hear them. They don't notice that they're using, you know what I mean, at the end of a sentence until somebody highlights the fact. And it's the same with those, that negative speak.
It's so true. And the more we become aware of it, obviously, then we can change it. And one of the other techniques I love to use is to actually, like, we're all pretty amazing people, right? We can give great advice to other people. We can, you know, sound very full of wisdom and and detachment and all those beautiful things when we're working with others. And it is possible to do that for ourselves. So if we actually take a moment to check in with ourselves and then step out of ourselves and look back in, look at ourselves from the outside in, and look at that person. And like, so I'll look at myself and go, okay, there's Sashwa. Now, what is she going through today? What advice would I give her? How would I coach her to get her out of that situation? Very, very powerful, because we have detachment then to a lot of the emotions that can just derail us from seeing what the pathway forward is.
That is a very powerful tool to be able to step out. I know I've, you know, gone into a situation where I've just gone, you know, all guns blazing type of thing, and then gone, okay, that was a really interesting response to that. How come that was the response? And done that analysis. But getting to the space where you can question yourself without berating yourself, and just trying to understand, but to be able to step out, and that means that you then doing it consciously, and you can make a choice on how you respond to something and how you behave to something, as opposed to just that automatic, isn't it? And that's not what a lot of people know that they can do.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Because I think that where it's easy to get tripped up in life is that we try and make these important decisions or how we're going to move forward with a certain situation when we've got all the emotions swirling around us. You know, all the hopes or the expectations or the self-doubt or whatever's going on, the anxiety, the depression, that can really limit us to be able to see our options and to believe that we're capable of moving into that new space. So, you know, detachment is a big kind of word, and you know, in a world where we're all trying to be more connected and heart-centered, where does that fit? But it does, because it gives us perspective.
Yes, and the other thing that popped in my head when you're talking about all those things that could be going wrong was, is Mercury in retrograde as well. That just adds an extra layer, doesn't it? Or a full moon. But again, that's a different.
That's a whole nother conversation.
It is. But it does add a dimension. It does add a lot of impact. And the full moon one has been tested and tried and things. But there's so many things that are influencing the decisions and that. And as you said, with emotions in it, we can't do it clearly. So how do people step out of the emotional space? How do you get them to do that?
I think one really good way to do that, you know, some really simple ways are things like change your energy, like walk outside, take a cold shower, you know, have a cup of tea, walk in nature, whatever works for you. Some people put on a song and change their energy that way. Even if you're feeling really stagnant and low in energy, something as simple as clapping. Just clap for a minute, you know, and
that's walk a long around time your house to clap, while
you're
isn't
doing it.
Yeah.
or however long you feel to. There's no rule to that. And I think too, you know, a lot of people are familiar with positive affirmations, and you know, we've been using them for a really long time. I like to add them in with like a, put them in the first person and add them in with like a slap to the chest. Like, I believe in my ability to do, and that's a real energy changer.
Wow, that definitely would be. I haven't heard that before. Yeah. I've heard, you know, embracing it, not just saying it, thinking it, believing it, but the physical contact with the body
is extraordinary.
It is. It would have changed it up completely. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. I'm just going to write that down because I'm going to suggest that to somebody.
Excellent.
Probably myself.
It's very powerful. It's a technique I do use in my programs, and afterwards people just feel so empowered, and it's a great way to like physically send that vibration through your body and your aura, your whole energy being, and it can really set you on the straight and narrow for the rest of the day.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that I haven't done for a little while, and it's something that I will definitely do again. I love turning up music really loud in the house, music I can sing along to, and cleaning. If I need that detached, you know, I just need to be in control of my space. If things have got a little bit out of control, for me, it's cleaning. And I know you said the garden, so it's possibly, you know, that might be your space, wherever that space is.
Yes.
And COVID was a bit like that when we first went lockdown. Okay, taken all these years to build a business. Now I don't have one. You know, it's it was out of control here.
Yeah.
And for me, I set up a 30-day I challenge every day for 30 days to declutter. So that was, it was really cool. And all my friends that are accountants that were really, really busy were so jealous because I had my whole house decluttered by the time we went back to back to semi-normal. But it was, that's my control. And I think that's what, finding that space is important, as to if you need to be in control of it, what is your way of doing that, isn't it? And it's a change up of situation.
And I think it's also making the conscious decision. I want to change my energy right now. How am I going to do that? I'm going to cook a passionate meal. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to ring a friend. I'm going to, you know, there's so many options of what we can do. And the most important part is that conscious decision.
A conscious decision to change your energy. And to do that conscious. So having... And that's, I'm assuming that's what you would work with people, is to find what their way of going, you know, what, this is what works for me and I'm going to do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And exploring a lot of, I believe in very practical techniques that don't take very long because we are all busy people and we want to enjoy our lives. I am a believer in meditation, but I also don't believe in sitting down for 3 hours and meditating. I feel that, you know, if we're doing it in a practical, real way, there are techniques you can use to change your energy in a much more efficient, effective way. And two, I'm a big believer, as I alluded to before, into tuning into your intuition for solutions in life too. You know, I've explored intuition very actively for 18 plus years, and on a very practical level, it can really change the ballgame.
And the things I've read about the different brains in the body, and it's that stomach brain, which is part of that intuition, isn't it? Because there's all those hormones that the stomach makes that we recognize as maybe butterflies or a nervous feeling or a good feeling or
our gut feeling, like that's really what we're talking about. Absolutely. We have the physical symptoms and the feelings, and also the sort of energy awareness. You know, we've all had those aha moments where we say, oh, I knew I should have done that, or I really didn't want to go there and I went there and then I felt really crappy afterwards, you know. We've had countless experiences and examples of those sorts of things. So the more we can explore in a conscious way that knowing inside of us, that gut feeling inside of us, then life just gets easier.
If someone's never really paid attention to that intuition or has fought against it, or not even as dramatic as that, maybe just never recognized it, even though everyone would have heard the term, how do you get people to start listening in to their intuition?
I think the biggest thing is starting to acknowledge that it's there, first of all. I think that's a big roadblock for a lot of people, is that they don't believe. And you know, if they really were to do a bit of a review of their life, they would know that they've had countless examples of it. It's just that they don't necessarily trust it or put it to that, you know, that it was intuition. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. And once we actually choose to believe enough just to explore it a little, you will find that it starts showing up in your life a whole lot more and a whole lot more easily. You know, you'll put out for that car park outside that business meeting and you'll get it, or you'll be thinking of someone and the 2 minutes later, the phone will ring and it's them. Mm. Like, it's all those little coincidences, if you like, that when you kind of go, oh, that's interesting, then you're already on the journey to exploring it. And for those who want to kind of take a bigger leap in, then, you know, to me, it doesn't matter what you believe in terms of the universe, the source, angels, your higher consciousness, whatever word you want to give it, it's all the same thing. It's just whatever we relate to, is to just put it out to the universe. Just ask the question and see what comes back.
Hmm.
You know, like, what have we got to lose?
It's, yeah, that manifesting, it's really interesting. You know, what was the movie that came out years ago, The Manifestation? The Secret. The movie, Secret. And I sent away for it and I received two copies of it. So I had one to share with other people, which was awfully nice to, that I ended up with two. But it's also the paying attention, asking, but the third step is taking action, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. And that is the most fulfilling one of all to me, because you get those amazing aha moments and you go, wow, I actually didn't have to learn that one by hindsight this time. I actually had the foresight to know where to be, to know who to go into business with, to, you know, get the right feeling around a relationship, or to follow through on my health and look at the amazing results it's had. Like, there's so many levels we can work with it on. The most rewarding thing is it coming through to fruition.
Mm. And it is, you know, I had to get a BCC removed off near my eye, and the plastic surgeon that the doctors recommended, I couldn't get in there for months. So I Googled plastic surgeons Brisbane. Now, it's pretty random sort of Google, and this one kept popping up all the time. And I went, okay, that's fine. I will go and see him because he's on everything I'm looking at. The best customer service. I felt like I was Madonna walking in there. That's how they treated me. And the doctor was a Asian version of Patch Adams, amazing surgeon. He's repaired all this here, and you can hardly see it. That's only a couple months ago. Just phenomenal. And gone back, and I'm actually going back again later today for another follow-up. Incredible follow-up. Great email contacts. This is all the steps that you need to take. Everything was well set out. It was brilliant. And it was, you know, it was so funny because it just popped up on everything that I looked at somewhere else. He came up and I went, okay, I'm paying attention to that. So let's Google a plastic surgeon.
Well, that's it. And really say, okay, guys, whoever you are, you know, don't worry about even giving them a name. Just go, right, can you help me out here? Like, you know, I have had great confidence stepping into big decisions in my life because I've tuned into, you know, that energy, you know, in leaving corporate in the first place. Like, that's a big move to make, you know, particularly as a 33-year-old, when I thought, you know, I'd just gotten to the top and now I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah.
But it really has given me the courage and the confidence and making things more effortless in my life. Effortless is one of my key words.
I love that word. And you know what? That is exactly what it feels like when you are in tune with and just pay attention. Yeah. I know, if I get something come through and I go, yeah, okay, that's a little slap. I got that. Thank you very much. We don't need any big slaps to really, I'm paying attention now.
I'm listening.
Absolutely. I had a friend who just was not paying attention at all, and he kept making mistake after mistake after mistake until he was hit by a car. He wasn't killed. He was in hospital for a while, and he had a chance to really think about the things that he had, the way he'd been treating himself and his body and everything else that he'd been doing. But it took all of these little things until it built up to go, right, we're just going to what's the word, demobilize you for the next 2 months, and here we go, this is what you need to understand. Absolutely. And learn. So
I can so relate to that. I mean, I have countless stories I could share about intuition and how it unfolds, and you know, I've had the car accident experience too, you know, about to drive long distance, and thought, oh, that thing that's sitting right beside my seat, if I had an accident, that could go right through the seat into my back. Of course, it moved it, but kind of ignored the message, and of course had an accident that evening. So there's those kind of wake-up calls. That was a long time ago now.
Mm.
But also there's the really positive ones. Like, I remember saying to my guidance for some many years, I kind of got off the treadmill of relationships because I just kind of had enough. And I kind of set out to the universe, if you ever want me to have a relationship again, it's got to be this, 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 and this. And you've got to hit me over the head with who it is, because otherwise I'm done. Like, I was just having one of those moments, right? I said, I am done unless you absolutely hit me over the head that this is, you know, someone I need to you know, look at. And, of course, lo and behold, they did.
Oh, brilliant.
It was many years later, but you know, and they were very specific, and they did not hold back in all the messages of, you know, that you really need to take notice of this. And I can look at that too in hindsight and say, okay, well, I'm glad I put it out there, and I'm glad I said, you know, let me know one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. And
so it can have really positive implications.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's the thing with business, isn't it, is to be able to request what you want. I'm running a retreat, and which by the time this will be aired, the retreat will be over. Sorry, you've missed it. But there'll be another one later in the year. But we've put, and I'm running it with a yogi, and, you know, who does Chinese medicine as well, and where we've put out there the number of people that we want on retreat. We had it fully booked last year for Bali, and things, the goalposts have kept moving and moving and moving. And now it's in March, 2021. And we've put out so we had people that pulled out, and we've had to refill it, which everyone knows in business, when you're doing something like that, is it takes time and effort and having the right conversations. And we've reached our number that we said that this is what we want to do. And it's been not as hard as what it could have been, because we just set that goal. This is how many people we want on retreat, and we've achieved that. So it can be really positive, but it's that focus, as you said, making the decision and listening, and then, you know, taking action to fulfill it. If we just sat around and just waited for people to come, then that would have been different.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely have to step into the opportunities that we're asking about, and also to be open to how the response may come.
Mm.
You know, like it can come visually through things that we're reading. It can come through other people. It can come, you know, in those quiet moments. It can come in so many different ways. So being really open to receiving the messages.
Yeah. Now, things that can go, you know, that hold women back in business. I know we've touched on a couple of them, like self-doubt and that negative talk. Mm. Anything else that really, you know, before we wrap up, that people need to be really consciously aware of and thinking about how they can respond to this consciously?
Yeah, look, it's a great question, Janine. And I think, you know, the immediate thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is around expectations and obligations. Okay. Some of the things that really can get us undone is trying to live up to expectations, either our own or those that we perceive others have of us,
mm-hmm.
or following through on what we feel we're obliged to do. And the way to really explore that is to know that there's a whole lot more to us than we realize. You know, it really is important to take the time to get to know the real us and all that encompasses, because, you know, we're very powerful beings. And, you know, I think we're on the front foot being women, because we're so resilient. We can be very strategic. You know, we can be very powerful energies, and we need to give ourselves permission to be that, and not let our self-talk get in the way.
Mm. Yes. And I mean, that, and then that can lead to things like anxiety and depression when it does. And again, and what I've found with when it sort of gets that far, it's not something that people, they need a, they need tools to get out of it. It's not, once you can't expect to remove yourself from that state with the same skill base that you got into it. You need other things to do that. And that's where someone like yourself comes in to be able to help people, help women to do that and to live well.
Absolutely. Live well. And there was something always inside of me that knew there was something more, and I didn't really know what it was. But the anxiety and depression that you talk about is very real in our normal circles that we move throughout every day. And I think the most important thing is to realize that it's okay to be in that space and to be willing to want to change it, because one of the key things we're always looking for in life is fulfillment, some kind of fulfillment and meaning in what we do. And particularly those who are in the corporate world and haven't yet found perhaps their great love that they then turn into a business, as many of us have, that it can be very disheartening. And so it's really just encouraging everyone out there to explore themselves, explore what they're passionate about, and start filling their day and their journey with something that has meaning, something that actually, you know, gives them that feeling of true fulfillment, because getting the pay rise and the nice car doesn't cut the mustard.
No. And I mean, I know when I was 20 years doing what I was doing, and then 4 years part-time in that same role, a five-day fortnight, which was a great mix of both, and had the opportunity to work a lot more on my own business, but it was still sucking life out of me.
Yes.
It really was. And you know what? Instead of listening, this is a really interesting point that I was aware of. Instead of listening, and because it was a very good pay packet, that they eventually sent somebody into the workplace, into a senior management role, who made my life so difficult that I eventually had to say, no, I will not put up with this any longer, and had to be moved out.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision that I've ever made, but I would not have made it. And the interesting point, I had decided to make it in 12 months following, but this was 12 months earlier. And what I planned then to do in 2020 was spend 3 months traveling Europe. But because I resigned from that position 12 months prior, I spent 3 months in 2019 traveling Europe.
Wow.
So I haven't got to the stage to be able to thank this person yet, but I am very thankful, because I paid attention. Eventually I paid attention, and you know, we had Airbnbs and castles and amazing places, towers and things all over Europe, and had this incredible time, a cruise through the Baltic and Iceland. It was amazing. And I spent quite a few months booking all the Airbnbs, booking all of the accommodation, doing everything. And because it was 2019, everything went off so well. We got to do everything that we needed. And 12 months later, I would have lost it all and not been able to do it. So again, instead of pushing that and had 12 months extra there of grief and dealing with this person, it was one of the biggest moments where I went, I'm paying attention. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah.
And look, experiences come our way, and they always come our way for a reason. The sooner we find out what that reason is, then the sooner we get to move on with the good stuff.
Very important factor. Three takeaway points. I know there's lots that we've covered. We're probably going to rehash those, but I always like something at the end where people go, right, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. So, all right, my three takeaways would be: spend more time with yourself. Take moments in your day to really check in with how you're feeling.
Okay.
The second one would be really giving yourself permission to explore and be the fullness of who you are. know that you have only explored a small part. And I say that quite confidently, because I know there's so much more to all of us than what we've given ourselves permission to be. So explore, you know, nurture yourself, give yourself that permission to be that powerful energy that you are. And to me, one of the most important sources to be able to do that is to explore your intuition, your gut feeling, whatever you want to call it. You know, I think a lot of people with intuition are very hopeful that it's just going to drop in sometime. You know, I'm someone who likes to step into life. So step into, you know, looking at how intuition can help you in much more of a business way, not just the airy-fairy intuition, but I need to make decisions in my life, in my business, and really channeling into that pure source, being in business with it.
That's a really important factor, from something as small as, do I make that follow-up phone call right now, to how am I going to grow this business and what is it going to look like? Yeah, so important. Absolutely. Yeah. How can people get in touch with you, Sashua, and work with you and find out more about what you do?
Yeah, thanks, Janine. So I am on Facebook, of course, so Sashua Benet Transformation Coach, and LinkedIn. Website, which is evolving, sashuabenet.com. And I do have a free event coming up if people would like to find out more about the work that I do. I run coaching programs called How to Create an Inspired Life. And it's particularly for professionals who feel gridlocked in their current circumstances and really want to catapult themselves out of that change. So I do have some free webinars coming up, which are on Eventbrite, and there's a link in the details we have there so people can register and join me there, or just book a call via the Facebook page, Sashua Benet Transformation Coach.
Excellent. And please do, you know, if there's something where you've been feeling that you've just been stuck in that, and knowing that you're not giving yourself the best opportunity to be the best person and live that most fulfilled life possible, and definitely get in touch with Sashua. There's so much brilliant information. And jump on the webinars also, finding those. Thank you. Thank you for your time today. It's been a great conversation. I say this every single podcast, the time goes so fast. It's quite amazing. It's like having a chat with a friend. And yeah, as you are.
Thanks, Janine. It's been an absolute delight to spend some time with you.
Thank you, Sashua. And that is another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you very much for your support and following and subscribing to this channel. If you are a bit stuck with your business, or you're just not sure how to close a sale, anything that is uncomfortable about having a conversation, then please have a conversation with me. You can go to JanineVosper.com and choose a discovery or strategy call, and no obligation. And if I can help, then I will. If I know somebody else that'd be able to assist you, then I'll be able to direct you that way. But it's worthwhile having the conversation and going from there. I look forward to you joining next time on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.